It was 1993, I think. You know, after a while, these things start to blend together. Dates, some names. I'm an old man now. That doesn't help. But I remember the important things. I don't know if it's that I just have a good memory or if these things just kind of get burnt in your mind. Oh, it doesn't matter. We drew a body in a department store. Kohl's department store, you know. The one right up there on North Avenue. This one started off weird right off the bat. Someone placed the call for the body at about 2 in the afternoon. It was a department store that opened at 9 in the morning. It had been open, people walking around the place for hours. So you think, okay, maybe. Maybe the body was hidden somewhere in the building. Nope. Body was right inside the main entrance of the place, right by the first checkout. Somebody must have dropped the body there. Took off, right? These are all things we're thinking on the drive over. Body was posed. There was no way people had been in a rush when they did, and there was no way that people just didn't notice someone doing it. It would have been impossible to miss. I mentioned that it was a kid. Yeah, he was, maybe 10, 11 years old. The pose was, you watched The Exorcist. The girl had come down the stairs. She bent over backwards. She was walking on her hands and feet. That's how this boy was, but, you know, he wasn't moving. His back was arched, stomach facing up, just looking up at us, upside down. His face just pain. All he had on was a pair of white briefs, this kid. God. So we get there, and the first thing we ask is, well, what the guy looked like. Someone had to have seen him, but no. No one could recall. No one could recall seeing anything. Not even the lady who'd been standing at the register. This poor kid was posed in front of him, not 10 feet away. Now, it's weird enough, you know? The way this body's position's weird enough, so... We think rigor mortis must have set in. Forensics folks get over there. Take these pictures, all of them. Christ. Then they, you know, they get ready to lay the body out, take a closer look at him, and as soon as the forensics guy, Benny, remember his name is, as soon as Benny lays a finger on him, I meant the moment, the second, the microsecond, the exact instant his finger touches this kid's shoulder, the body instantly crumples like a deflated balloon. I feel bad saying it, that poor kid, but it was just a puddle of a person, it's a puddle of skin. Found out later this kid's bones are just, they're dust. I don't mean, like, figuratively either. His bones were ground to just a fine powder. Only mark of his body was a handprint around his neck. The cause of his death was determined to be strangulation. Christ. It's a goddamn kid. Yeah. Anyway, we had our work cut out for us. This was a case where there were 40, 50, 60 witnesses. We checked the security cameras, and it was the most bizarre, surreal thing. Whole thing was caught up on tape. And around 10:30 that morning, a person wearing all black kept his head down the whole time. We couldn't see his face. He came in holding the kid's hand. They went over where the body was found. Kid goes into the position we found him. Guy then chokes the kid for about 40 seconds, and killing him. People were just walking on by, walking around him. Looking at him, ignoring what's happening. The lady at the counter looks over a few times, didn't do anything, just kept checking people out, doing her job. Guy finishes choking the kid, he stands up, and son of a bitch bows. And the part that really got me, people in the store gave him a round of applause. Then he just left. Now we're fuming. I remember I yelled at some of the employees and people that were in the store when we got there. What the hell were you doing just standing there? What the hell's the matter with you, sons of bitches, you know? Like, but not a one of them couldn't really explain the reaction to what had happened. They said they remembered seeing the guy, the kid, all of it. But when it happened, it didn't really feel like anything wrong was going on. They said they all just saw it. But instead of being like, what the hell, it just seemed like a normal thing. We asked everyone what the guy had looked like. They were all 100% sure in the description they gave of the guy's face, but what the witnesses gave us, the guy was either white, black, Hispanic, or Asian, with brown, black, blonde, red, or gray hair, blue, green, or brown eyes, perfectly smooth or extremely wrinkled skin, a big or a small nose, and he had a picture-perfect set of pearly whites. Or he had a mouth that looked like he ate nothing but junk food and rocks and hadn't brushed a day in his life. Didn't make any sense. And with everyone having no real idea what they saw, none of what they gave us was a help at all. Remember I said the body was called in around 2 p.m? And yeah, that means people were coming in and just ignoring. Not realizing, I don't know, whatever the hell was happening. But no one did anything about the body for almost 4 hours. We went to listen to the 911 call. We find out it came from a payphone right around the street from the Kohl's. McDonald's there. There used to be a payphone. Now I heard a gravelly, deep voice. But Olson, he heard someone more high-pitched, doesn't really matter. There's another weird thing about this. Operator goes, 911, yada, yada, yada. Guy says, did anyone call yet? Operator goes, I'm sorry? Did anyone call about the body yet? There's a wet body. Guy gets all frustrated, starts huffing and puffing, and goes, there's a body at Kohl's, North Avenue, do your freaking job, your goddamn job, whatever he says, and he goes, I don't have all day. So we end up looking at the security tapes in McDonald's there, right after the guy did what he did to the boy. Walked over to the McDonald's, he sat at one of the tables outside, and he just sat there, staring at the Kohl's, just waiting. Didn't budge an inch from 10:35 until he called at 2, just sat there, like a statue, staring. Then he got up and he made the call. After he hung up, he stood at the payphone, not moving, watching the Kohl's from there, watching the black and white show up, watching us show up, and finally around 4, he just left. Took off down the street. This was one where we didn't really find anything, never found out who the boy was, no one ever reported him missing. Certainly never found the guy that killed him. Get this, though. Whole mess of people that were in the store, when he did what he did, they ended up killing themselves. Six or seven of them in the months immediately following. And then I find out the case was reopened. Guy took over, a young guy named Smith. He went to re-interview some of the witnesses. 16 more committed suicide. Guy didn't just kill the boy. Whatever he did, whatever he was, he took a whole lot more people with him. That boy, though. Never get that sad out of my eyes. He was posed. Thank God I never saw anything like that again. Some of the other cases they might have affected me more overall, but that was a sight. That was that one. Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and thank you for watching today's video. And if you're on the podcast, then thank you for watching today's podcast. And if you're on not the video or the podcast, then thank you for tuning into this telepathic broadcast. Oh, and there's something I need to mention to all of you. It's actually the big Halloween surprise. I mentioned this early on in the summer, but I never really got a chance to say what it was because it wasn't really nailed down at the time. We, and by we, I mean me, Creeps McPasta, and Mew, are going on tour across the United States in October. All the dates for it have been nailed down as of actually today, and tickets should be going on sale as of actually today. If you'd like to find out more, I'm going to have a bunch of information in the description down below all the way up until the tour is finished. But if you want to get a hold of your tickets, all the venues we've chosen have very limited seating, so make sure you get your tickets now if we're heading to a town near you. And one of the most exciting things about this is that I've been able to work with Mew across the United States doing conventions over the past couple of years. But this is the first time I think that Creeps McPasta is coming to the US, and it's especially the first time I'm going to be able to work with him live on stage. So this is going to be a show that's bigger than anything I've ever dreamed of being able to do in my entire YouTube career. So check it out down below at marginwalkerpresents.com to get a hold of your tickets. And come see us to celebrate Spooktober.
Especially, I want to give a big thank you to my Patreon supporters. You guys over at patreon.com/MrCreepyPasta are the best. Especially, Trace Miles, Talon Karlick, Jordan Alexander Sanchez, Wayne Milstead, Dr. Strawberry, Daniel Polson, Chompinski, Ken Lando Higuchi, Rev Miroku, Brianna Ventine Jensen, Nicholas Saeed El Yassin, Buddy Burrows, Stephen Van Huss, Tristan Pelton, Goonington, G. Weevil 3, Chance Burnett, Diana Kraus, Asia, Gabrielle DeBaca, The Red Oak Shield Virus, Sandy Barney, Titty Connoisseur, Melissa Swagart, Kudir Max, Jay Kerbine, Dante Rao, Last Blade Song, Chris Wrights, The Gender Bros, Mads Beck Lorenzen Post, Don Mulmeister, Eliminator 86, Nebsky, Andrew Stenberg, Jason Silsma, Steampunk Center, and Rafael Rodriguez. If you guys would like to join them, you can head over to patreon.com/MrCreepyPasta. And that's it for tonight. Sweet dreams, everyone.